Come on, if you're excited to be here, why don't you stand to your feet? Let's get ready to praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Jesus. We sing like this.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb.
Till I met
you.
Oh, come on.
I was breathing, but not alive.
All my failures,
I tried to hide. It was my tomb.
Till I met you.
Oh,
come on, somebody shout it out.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave.
I did, Lord.
Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your mercy has saved my soul, and your freedom is all.
It's all that we know this morning.
Oh, yeah. The old me knew Jesus when I met you.
Oh, what a day.
You called my name.
Come on, lift him up.
See, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave.
I did, Lord.
Out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
If you're grateful for that, I want you to lift them up. Just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Hallelujah. This is our testimony today.
I need a break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broke, you are my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. And when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness
into
your glorious day.
You call my name.
Lift up a mighty praise this morning. A mighty praise to a God who's alive, to a God who's worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship Jesus. Come on, sing it.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, we praise mighty God and sing it.
Yeah.
God is great and glorious. And we put our trust in your name, Jesus. Able to save and deliver us. And we put our hope in your name, Jesus. Blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God, forever and ever. All of the honor, all of the praise is yours, yours forever. Mighty and marvelous. We put our trust in your name, Jesus. Well, there's nothing to fear, you are here with us. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Oh, blessing. Sing blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God. Forever and ever, all of the honor, all the praise is yours. Yours forever. Well, nothing's impossible. Come on, do you believe that this morning? If you believe that, declare it with me. My God.
Our God is in control. Steadfast, unmovable. Nothing's impossible.
He reigns. Oh, you reign, Jesus. Almighty God. We've come to praise a God who's big. Hallelujah. Come on, we've come to lift up the name of Jesus in this place. And if you love him today, why don't you take a minute? Just thank him for being so good. So good. Oh, we worship you. You're good even when life isn't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good, so good. You are good. Yes, you are so good. You are. The king of my heart, be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna.
Just declare it by faith, come on.
But you're,
he's never gonna let us down.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing when you learn to praise through the fire and through the storm. You know, the Bible says that weapons formed against you will not prosper, but the Bible never says the weapon won't be formed. It doesn't say you're going to go, not going to go through stuff. It's when we decide to put our faith in a God who's done it all that we feel like we can get through it. You can get through it. You can get through it. It may, no matter how hard it is today, you can get through it. Just take a minute and worship the God who's going to get you through it. Just trust on Him because He's going to get you through it. He's been where you are. He's felt what you felt. And He's going to get you through it today. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We worship You, Father. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears. They laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Then the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is Your sting? The angels roar, come on, for Christ again. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Hallelujah. Come on, lift Him up.
and I have remained faithful. If you continue reading down that scriptures, it says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach. So I came to just tell a couple people today, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. Have you ever just felt like you're losing the battle? Well, you got to keep fighting. Some of you need to be reminded that you're going to finish the fight. It's not over yet. And some of you just need to remain faithful. You just got to remain faithful. Now, as you can probably, you know me, so you know that I'm not into boxing. Like, no. But there is one part, Matt. Come up here, please. Sorry, that sounded rude, but I didn't mean it rude. There is one thing about the fight that I kind of like to see. It's at the end of the fight, and the person's, maybe bloody, sweaty. He's been through a fight. He's been through it. And some of you, you got a little bit of scars going on this morning. Some of you, I look and I see a little bit of blood. You've been through a couple storms. But I just wanted to remind you that the Holy Spirit says that you've won the fight. You've won it. With Jesus, you're going to win. You got to remain faithful. You got to keep fighting the fight of faith. I want everybody that says, I'm going to remain faithful, to raise your hand. Every person, I'm going to remain faithful, to raise your hand. And let's thank Him for bringing us out of the fight. Everybody, let's have 100% raise our hand and just thank Him. God, we just want to thank you. We may be in a fight, but it's not over. Hallelujah. People that need healing, receive their healing today. People that have diseases, that they will be gone. I pray, God, that addictions in this house, there will be complete freedom. I pray, God, that you put some families back together. I pray in the name of Jesus that they'll say one thing about Charleston Church. We remained faithful. We remained faithful to the God that will give us victory. Can you just say thank you, Jesus, to Him? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. I just want you to know that you're not in that rink by yourself. That's all I had to say that was in my notes, but some of you just need to remember you're not in the fight alone. You're not in it alone. If you are, you're going to lose. You got to invite Jesus into that and say, help me, Lord, because it's not over. It's not over. I've been praying for a lady's son that she's sitting here this morning. Her son is in a very dark place. Hey, Mom, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. We're just going to believe together as a church that every family will have victory. Amen? Amen. I want you to tell about two people. I'm walking in victory, and you may be seated. Pastor, please sit down. I'm ready to go on. I'm just kidding. Kind of felt good, but okay. Our Charleston Church, will you welcome all of our guests today? We're so glad that you're here. I just want to show off a couple that they grew up in this church, and they have been in Florida, and they're home, and I cannot seem to get to them before service is over. So Jeremy and Angie, will you stand up? We love this family. Will you turn around and wave and just let them know you love them? We are so proud of them. So come say hi to us this week because we want to see you. You know, I love when people go away and come back. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you're a guest, we just want you to take that contact card right in front of you in your seat. There's like a little pocket there and it will have a contact card. Fill it out and put it in the offering. We are so glad you're here. And maybe you brought somebody to church with you today. So why don't you take that contact card and give it to them so they'll fill it out? Because everybody needs a good church. Amen? And we're just so glad to have you here. There's a few announcements as the ushers get ready that I just want to share with you. The bike for Haiti, it obviously was yesterday and it was pouring and no, you don't want children out there by the, yes. Anyway, so it's tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Faith Bible College. It's at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7. So if you have kids, okay, Pastor says it's on the screen on the 4th, but it's tomorrow. Everybody say tomorrow. Because it was canceled. Yes, yes. So tomorrow. Good? It's I said it twice. What time is it? 5. Thank you. He says, I'm a man. I need it told one more time. Okay, it's 5 o'clock at Faith Bible College. 5 o'clock. Bring your kids. They're Pastor, come right up, honey. You can help me with my notes. Come on. You're doing good, yeah. Okay. Sorry. We need a little more coffee, I think. Okay, listen. Okay. The school supply is, we are raising things for our schools, our local schools, and we are so excited to bless them. This week it was backpacks and glue sticks. Next week it's crayons and pencils and colored pencils and markers. How many know that we want our schools to be blessed? We want the students in this community to be blessed. We're really praying that we can do more schools than we have ever done. Okay. It's just nobody can hear you. Okay. So, empowering education is something that we came up with in a staff meeting and a planning meeting. And this wasn't planned, to be honest. We just were in this meeting, and I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Heather, I'm not sure. But said, what can we do for our local schools? We need to do more. There are children in our schools that are going to school with none of the items that we're going to bring them. And I don't know about you, but I just want to bless the students in our community. And we are so grateful to be able to bring all these school supplies to different schools. I was talking to Carrie a while back in her classroom. That day, she had a student that had no school supplies. No school supplies. And she said, at the end of the day, come back to the room. And that child, that junior high student, came back that afternoon and went in her room. And she had a whole bunch of them. And she said, pick what you want. So my kids have been always been able to go school shopping and get what they want, and they bring their daddy because he's way easier to get what you want than me. So they're smart. But I just want you to know that we want to bless the students that don't have that. That's very important to us, and to bless the teachers in this community. Are you serious? Okay. You might as well just bring that preaching thing up. I'm just not stopping. Okay, we have done in the past Highview. We have done Dexter, Corinth. We've done Levant. We want to do Herman. We've done Dover. We've done Milo. We've done Glenburn. And we want to do more. My heart's desire is every person in here, wherever your community is, that we touch your community. Like, I really have had a heart for Herman. We've never done Herman, but we have children and kids on the move this morning that are from Herman. We want to do Newport. We've never done Newport. But we thought, your children are in Newport. We want to bless that school. So we are just determined this year to do more schools than we've ever done. Amen? I'm not even looking down there. I'm moving on. Moms of Faith Barbecue is this Thursday at 10 a.m. We're going to be leaving the church at 10. If you're a mom of any age and you just want to come celebrate with us, we're just going to have a fun day at the lake. We want you to bring your children. Just come and meet some other moms in this church, and it's going to be great. Amen? Oh, my word. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, leaving the Charleston church. We are leaving the Charleston church at 10. And we have Hike for Haiti. Ask Paul. I have no idea. Come on, ushers, please, before he makes me go over one more time. Amen. So Bike for Haiti tomorrow, school supplies, Moms of Faith. Oh, I did forget one. Senior adult meal will be August 14th. And I'm just going to pray. You've heard enough from me. So we're just thankful that you're faithful in your offering. We can do more than we've done because you're faithful. And we just appreciate that. And we want you to know we want to do more for our community. You know, one of the teachers had actually told me that comes to this church that they need underwear and socks in their classroom. And I told her, we'll buy those so kids have new socks. So I just want you to know you're just faithful and we appreciate it. You're obeying God's word in your tithe and your offering, and God will bless you because of it. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We thank you, God, that you have supplied all of our needs. And we pray, God, that we as Charleston Church can do more in every area. We are so thankful for what we're going to be able to do for Haiti. We thank you what we're going to be able to do in Jerusalem. We thank you, God, for the different things that you've laid on our hearts that we're going to do for your glory to build your kingdom and bless all of the rest of this service. I pray that your Holy Spirit will pour out in the remaining of this service stronger than it's ever been. I pray that your Holy Spirit, maybe there's somebody here today that does not know you and serve you, that they will meet you today at the altar. And we are so thankful that we're able to come to this sanctuary today. We don't take it for granted that we can come together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ask you to bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's amazing how this song just ties in with everything that Darcy was speaking about. I really hope that this is a blessing to you.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. Feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. Broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy, made him a king. I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you'll fight for me. Be a champion, claiming your victory. Hope like Moses. stop till I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus. Gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Now I won't stop till I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness.
Sorry, Janelle just had heart failure back there. Sorry, Janelle. It's me. I didn't turn it on. So many steps in the process. Praise God. How many would just want that to be your prayer? I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong in Jesus' name. Can I pray for you, Lord? I pray you put strength in every person from the balcony to the front row to the platform to everybody that's joining us online. God, it is not our desire. It is not your desire for us to be weak. But we thank you, Lord, that we're strong, not in the natural man only, but we're strong in the spirit. And we give you thanks for that today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. If you'd open your Bibles while you're standing to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Darcy, you did a phenomenal job at the announcements today, the best I've ever heard you do. You did a great job. Wonderful. Thank you. And this man that just sang, some of you don't know him, but this is Jonathan Sharp. And we love him and his family. They've been attending here for quite a little while now. Come on, let Jonathan know you feel like he did a great job today. Good job, man. I think that'd be kind of intimidating to sing a solo in front of the church when you've never done it before. But you did a good job. Really good. Good job. Proud of you. Love you. What's that? Yes, you used to be a worship leader. And I think that hasn't left you at all. I think God's got that still on you, and I'm excited about what God's going to do with you here at Charleston. And we're grateful for all of our musicians, aren't we not? Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Open your Bibles, again, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Got my golf club up here today. I'm trying to find an appropriate place to... Usually I'm throwing it in the woods, so I don't know what to do with it when I'm in a better mood. Luke, chapter 24. Oh, I got to get up here on my iScroll. This is what Moses used. I got it on eBay the other day. And, I mean, they said it was. Why would they lie? Why would they lie? I'm so glad that you're here, and I believe God's going to do some great things. What are we getting this coming Sunday for Empower Education? It's writing stuff, right? Crayons, colored pencils. And those of you that don't know, our Bike for Haiti, Hike for Haiti, our youth department is raising money to build a 500-seat auditorium for a church in Haiti. And if they raise $12,000, a person in the church said they'll match it with another $12,000. I think that would be very cool if I was them to think when I got older, I was highly involved in my youth group built a church in Haiti for other people to go to church. Isn't that awesome? So proud of the young people. God is raising up a mighty generation of young people in our church. And I need you to know, we're products. A lot of us here on this platform are products in the seats all around you. How many of you grew up in this church or grew up in a church? Just, you grew up in church or you grew up in a church. I'm so glad. It's a core value for you. And I believe that God's going to continue to multiply his work. Luke 24, verse 36 reads this way. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Let's pray. Jesus, speak to every individual in the room today and those joining us digitally. May your spirit do something today that will affect us the rest of our earthly lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, is that your natural hair color? And then you can be seated, if you would. Is that your natural hair color? It is Dennis's natural color, yeah. Andy's natural color. It's your yeah. That's your oh. Hey, look, this is God is speaking to us through these scriptures. And again, today I'm not here to just kind of go through notes and an outline. I'm here to really ask the Holy Spirit to take what I believe is His will for this church and every church, but a season of it for us today is to know that God wants to pour out His Spirit on our lives like we have never experienced before. And the issue, the main, if you would, one topic in what we're trying to present, I don't know how many more weeks I will, but here's the thrust, here's the main point. If you're like me, apparently during announcements, I need to get one main point. And here's the main point. Is that God is constantly doing things, but we are not aware of them enough. There are things that God, and I've got this scripturally, there are things that God is doing and wants to do, but He doesn't always get to fulfill the full impact of it because we're not plugged in. We're not in tune. We're not aware. I need you to hear this. God doesn't waste His miracles. God doesn't waste His grace. God doesn't waste His provision. And what He's doing is He's trying to find a people who will prepare themselves to receive what God has already promised He'd pour out, and not only be able to receive it, but use it for His glory and for His good. I'm telling you today, there are miracles that are waiting on this church. What God's waiting for is some people know how to connect with them. Some of you are suffering way too long, and the reason is you've not been able to get near somebody who knows how to connect with God. Whenever anybody in our community needs something, it should be in our community's understanding. If you need to get to God, there are some people in Charleston that know how to connect to Him. Is anybody really hung for that today? Does anybody want to be that person? Does anybody think we ought to be that church? And we find with these disciples, after Jesus has been crucified, after He's buried, after He's resurrected, that He appears to the men on the road to Emmaus, and they don't even recognize Him. He appears to Mary, and she thinks He's a gardener. He appears to the disciples in this closed room, and you read, and He says, they're looking at Him, and they're like struggling. Now this should bring a bit of relief to us, but caution. I need you to hear this. I'm not gonna belabor the point. These people had spent 3.5 years daily listening to Jesus, talking to Jesus, eating with Jesus, being taught by Jesus, touching Jesus, smelling Jesus, knowing Jesus. And up until 3 days before this, they had no issue with Him. But in 3 days, they lost their confidence. Now, I need you to have a little bit of understanding the challenge of pastoring. If the disciples who spent 3.5 years with Jesus every day, in 3 days, lost it, how many know a lot of damage can happen between now and next Sunday? I've been in services, zingers on a Sunday morning. Get back to church Sunday night, dead, drier than cracker dust. So when I look at these guys and think, how could you lose it in 3 days? I've known people who've lost it in 3 hours. Oh, come on, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. How many know you've left church feeling like a nut? And the next day you don't. We've got to learn how to bridge that gap. It is not God's will. Well, you know, there's highs and lows. There is in you, but there's not in God's will. We don't need to go up and down and up and down. What God wants us to do is steadily go up. The path of the righteous grows brighter every single day. up and down Christianity is culturally acceptable in America, but unnecessary in his church. We've got to get back to the point where we begin to say, I believe God moves on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when the sun's shining and when it's not. I want to stay connected to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if these people in 3 days could lose it, please don't get beating yourself up today if you're not as spiritually in tune as you ought to be. But here's the grace apart the story. Jesus is resurrected, and he knows that they're struggling. But he doesn't avoid them. He comes and meets with them. Is there anybody glad today that even when you're struggling, Jesus is not going to walk away? In fact, he'll work a little overtime to get you back. I think somebody ought to give him praise for another chance. Come on. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling and you say, I've had great encounters with God, but I'm that yo-yo. I'm up and down. I'm in and out. I'm zigzagging and I'm not consistently growing. I've got news for you. God's not here to beat you up and remind you of the past. He's here to tell you, look, all you need is one more encounter with me. And this is what Jesus does. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 39. Behold, he says, my hands and my feet. Look at my hands. It's not because he had them manicured. Look at my rough hands that they've been pierced. Look at my pain. Look at the scars. My feet. It's me. Handle me. See me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, but they still did not believe. Why? Watch this. This is going to, I hope, help you. They still did not believe for joy, and they marveled. What's that mean? Were they too happy? No, they were not too happy. They were too emotional. That's what that literally means. The New King James can make it tough sometimes to read. But what had happened is they realized that going through the crucifixion, that all that they had was not necessarily faith. Some of what they had was only emotion. I'm helping you. I'm helping me. God's helping us. If you'll allow your emotions to direct your Christianity, you will fail over and over. And don't tell me you can't. They did. And the Bible says, in essence, for joy, they marveled. They were so emotional about it. I was thinking today, man, okay, I'm not even going to say what I was thinking today. It's not bad. I just got thinking how often we can replace faith with feeling. Now, I'm going to tell you how to deal with this in just a moment. I'm going to tell you how to deal with lack of faith. I'm going to tell you how to deal with over-emotionalism. How is it that somebody can be so high on Sunday and backslidden on Tuesday? Hello? All they know is a good song and a good line. And they know how to fake it. They can even walk to the altar. But their relationship is emotional, not spiritual. Okay, watch. They were overwhelmed. Their emotions had overtaken them. And he says to them, okay, the only way I know how to get through to you people is to eat. Do you have any food here? In verse 42. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it. And he ate in their presence. So now he has appeared to them. He has talked to them. He's availed his body to them. It's not working. And he eats with them. Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Stop. I have one statement to make to you today. And I think that every generation should learn from the past. But the only way to consistently live in the awareness of God is you have to have experiences with Jesus Christ. Come on. This could be your day. You can bring your child up in 12 years of Sunday school, 12 years of youth group. You can bring them to every event in church. But if they don't have an experience with God, they can lose it all in one semester of college. These people lost it all in 3 days. And Jesus said, the only way I'm going to get your unraveled lives, your tattered hearts, your disappointed dreams back together again, is I'm going to have to give you an authentic experience with me. Because apparently seeing me, feeling my hands, eating with me is not enough. You're going to need an encounter. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is not a set of doctrines. Jesus is not in a nostalgic part of your childhood. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive on the earth today. Jesus is walking this service today. Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. And it is an absolute necessity and privilege for the people of God to do more than study His theology. We must know His personality. Some of you are sick today because you have not learned how to connect with God. But one moment with God can heal heart problems. One moment with God can remove diabetes. One moment with God can remove addiction. But when we make God a subject to be studied and not a person to be known, we will go through the routine and live Sunday after Sunday, disappointed after disappointed. I'm just telling you, if you're visiting today, Charleston Church is turning a corner. I'm drawing a line. We're not here to go through the motions. We're here to have an encounter with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Not today, not just this season. Every day that God is here, we should know it. We require experiences with God. The only way to overcome the highs and lows, the only way to overcome the difficulties is to get to the place where we are encountering Him. Let me just say this and move forward. Jesus said to one of the greatest leaders of the religious community of His day, Nicodemus, "You must be born again." What does that mean? Every person that's born is born in a family that is heading to hell. And Nicodemus heard the teachings of Jesus and said, "How do I get to be a part of the family of God?" And He said, "You must be born again." Unfortunately, that's the only experience many people ever get. The day that they realize that they're a sinner needing a Savior, they respond to an altar call, they invite Christ into their lives, and that's the end of their experience because the preacher doesn't preach anymore. The church doesn't believe that there's more after that. But I need you to hear this, and I don't really have any concern about your church background. What I want to do is find out what the Bible says. And Jesus said after Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Then He said, "And you must be born of the water and the Word." In other words, He was saying the water represents the Bible. The Spirit represents His presence. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, the first step is to get into the family of God. But after you're in the family of God, you need daily experiences in the Word, and you need daily experiences in the Spirit. Come on, church. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning to get your Word meal. You should get it on your own Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. If Matt Ward goes more than 2 or 3 days stringed together without getting deeply into the Word of God, Matt Ward begins to falter. Matt Ward begins to get less confidence. Matt Ward begins to just kind of get off track. But when we know that we've got to be in His Word every single day, when we know we've got to be in prayer every single day, don't tell me that the church is praying every day. Don't tell me that the church globally is reading every day. But if we will ever get back to some old fashion disciplines daily in His Word so that I might not sin before God. Daily in prayer and a prayer language. Building yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't be up and down. You won't be happy this week and depressed next week. You'll get joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll have victory, healing, deliverance, direction, every single step of your journey. If you're weak, it's your choice. If you're strong, it's your choice. I prefer strong. It's the beginning. That word opened in the Greek means the birthing of the first. The first one through the canal. Nothing has preceded this opening. Nothing has ever come before this experience. When Jesus opened their lives, in essence, their spirit was closed. When you're born, you're spiritually closed. And Jesus, in one encounter with them, in other words, saves them, and all of a sudden, what they had no capacity to receive spiritually is now opened. The Bible says in Corinthians, any man who's in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And I need somebody to hear what I'm telling you. I don't care if you came today and you've been through 7 marriages. I don't care if you came here today and you were drunk last night. Or if you come here every week and you still got drunk last night. I don't care if you come here and you're a part of a cult. I don't care if you came here and you're an atheist. You've been a critic of Christians. You've been a critic of the local church. I don't care about any of that. The moment you come to Christ, God says, I forget and remove all of your sin of the past, and I act as if it never happened. You're as much a candidate for a miracle as I am. I said, you're as much a candidate for a good family as I am. You're as much a candidate for freedom as I am. Because I'm not here because Matt Ward's good. We're all here because Jesus is good. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give God thanks for the blood that gives us a new family. You can do a whole lot better than that. Come on, don't patty-cake God. He did it. You couldn't do it. He did it, though. Oh, praise God. I can't wait to get to heaven and see some of you try that. No, you're going to be leaping and shouting, hallelujah. It's just because you don't realize how hellbound you were. But I'm glad today, if Matt Ward doesn't come another day, you know I'm walking the streets of heaven, hallelujah. I'm joyfully expecting greater things. But it's the blood of Jesus that's done it, not me, not my membership. So that's the beginning. Now I began to pray. I said, all right, Lord, now what? I'm getting done. I said, Lord, okay, so you opened them. And before the service is over, you're going to have an opportunity to get things right with God. But what about the people that I know that have got it right with God? And they do this. And they're just good at sitting in church and want a reward for attendance. Sorry, there's no crown in heaven for attending. Oh, I wish somebody pat me on the back for driving here. That's not what he had in mind. You know what he had in mind? He has in mind that the fact that he didn't save you just to get you to heaven. He saved you so he can get into your life on earth. And this is, and I heard a man preaching the other night, and it stirred me to just go a little bit further in this. Once you've been opened or saved, please hear this, you must remain open to his miracles. Here's my question. Are you open? Right? When you're playing football at recess, kids are always running up. I'm open. That means I want the ball. The posture of every Christian every time we gather in his name, every time we get into his presence, ought to be this. Lord, I'm open. And I felt in my spirit to encourage somebody here today, not eloquently, but I've lost my desire for eloquence. I want results. Okay, so Moses in Numbers 13 sent 12 spies to look at the land that God promised that they could have. 12 spies came back. 2 said, we're going to go and we're going to win this battle. where the milk and honey flows, that's kind of sticky to me, but milk and honey flows, and we're going to defeat these giants. And 10 people of that church saw the same thing. And the two upbeat ones said, we can do it, and the 10 realists. Devil advocates said, we can't do this. Those giants are too big. We're grasshoppers in their sight. And the Bible says in Numbers, listen to this, it's not on the screen. Numbers, this is what God called the report of the realists. Numbers 14, verse 37. And those men brought an evil report about the land. Ooh, that hurts. If that don't sting, you've gone into the second realm of sleep during my sermon today. And I congratulate you. It would be a challenge today. Watch this. Two guys are like, we can do this. 10 guys say, oh, it's not working. And God says, your report is not realistic and it's not the devil's advocate. You're evil. Well, I'm just honest. What if God calls you evil? I mean, no, we got too many evil Knievels in the church. Evil Bo-weevils. This convicted me greatly this week. Because sometimes what we call realistic observations in God's eyes are evil reports. Whether you say it or post it. Why does God call people who go to church, realists, evil? Because a closed heart removes the miracle from your life. And let's not be too hard on the Dems. Oh, and by the way, how many of you know who the two positive reports were? What were their names? Joshua and Caleb. I'll give somebody $500 right now. Oh, wait a minute, let me check my wallet. I'll give somebody $10 right now. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really carry this much cash, but I sold an old four-wheeler. I did. I sold it. Anyways, I got a $100 bill. I got a $100 bill that belongs to the first person that can stand up and quote the 10 names of the realists. Not enough? I'll sweeten the deal. You drive a hard bargain. Can you use notes? No, you can't use notes. Good try. $200 for the person that can rise up and tell me about the realists that go to church. Without the Bible. Put your Bible away. That's a smart girl right there. She's got her Bible out. She's reading it. I'm putting my money away. You know why God calls the realist report? Well, I'm just being a realist. He calls it evil because behind it all, you've closed your heart to the miracle working power of God. God has come to tell you, some of you have been disappointed and you've allowed the circumstances to close your heart. You need to come back to faith and look at how big God is compared to your trial, and it will open your heart and you will taste the good of the land. Again, I heard this preacher preaching, and I said, I'm going to grab those scriptures. I'm going to steal his stuff and make it mine. If it's their meat and it goes through my grinder, it's my sausage. Three preachers, for real, were out golfing. And they all hit their ball near the green. Two of them found their ball. The one guy walks around, he can't find his ball anywhere around the green. So he figures, well, I'll just go pick up the flag so they can hit the ball in. And he looks in and he says, wow, can you believe it? There's a ball in the hole. He looks down and he picks it up and he says, unbelievable. It's even the same brand as what I hit. He takes the flag and drops it outside the green, and a man comes flying down the course in a golf cart. Hey, 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 congratulations. He says, for what? He said, I just saw you hit a hole in one. He's standing there with a ball in one hand, a club in the other, like, he's not open to that. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to give you more than a hole in one. He wants to heal Troy Campbell's heart. He wants to deliver your child from drugs. He wants to bring salvation to your job place. But if your heart is closed, you'll never know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask. Just keep swinging the club, friend, and God will do something for people who are open. But so many of us have observed the problems and the reports, and it closes our hearts. That's why we need to spend more time in the Word than we do on Facebook. That's why we need to spend more time in the Word than on cable news. That's why we've got to spend more time in the Word. Because if I will refuse an evil report, I can receive a miraculous report for God's glory. I'm telling somebody today, you've closed your heart. It's time to open your heart again. It's time to open your heart for marriage. It's time to open your heart for a miracle. It's time to, come on, musicians. It's time to open your heart for ministry. Come on, somebody. But you're just convinced that God can't use somebody like you. I'm convinced God can use anybody like you. You've just got to open your heart. Mary, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, the angel said, "You are highly favored." You know, we act like Mary was the only one that would allow the Holy Spirit to work in her life. But she was chosen. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there were many people that God wanted to use, but in Mary, the only difference was that she was open. Wow. How many of you want to be like Mary? I want to be open to anything that God... We talk about Mary, isn't that something? I mean, Mary. Wow, Mary must have been so spiritual to be open. I'm more amazed at Joseph. Come on, let's be realistic. If Felicia came to Matt when they were engaged, how many years ago? 21 years ago. Imagine if they were engaged 21 years ago. And Alicia says to Matt, "Matt, guess what? What? I'm pregnant." "You tell me whose baby it is, I'll kill that man." "God's." How many of you think that'd be a tough one to... tough one to believe right there. I'm amazed at Mary that she was open for God to do something like that. I'm even more amazed at Joseph that he was open that God would do something like that in his family. I'm so sorry, but my messages are going to get simpler and simpler every week. I'm working hard at it. Oh, that Charleston Church would be open for a move of God. Oh, that the men, the fathers, the husbands would be open to a move of God. Oh, that the mothers, the grandmothers would be open to the miraculous power of God. You've got to have a sense of expectation. God is up to something good. You have to fight for it. Your heart will close down. Years and difficulty and setbacks and people. I'm going to tell you, there are some marriages here. You think, "I don't know if we can make it." Oh, if you stay open, you're not going to only make it. You're going to make it well. There are some people here today, your body is sick. And you say, "I don't know if I'll ever get healed." Oh, you're going to get healed. You just got to stay open to the healer. Praise God. You got to stay open to the deliverer. You got to stay open to the helper. You got to stay open to the provider. Is there anybody here got some areas? I want to be open to the healer. I want to be open to the Savior. Come on. I'm going to be open for the rest of my life. I'm open for business, Lord. Whatever you want to do, I'm open for that to happen. I want every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed, if you would please, out of respect of what God's going to do in you. Beautiful what God's going to do in your neighbor. How many are here today and you're just ready to make a change and you say, "You know, there's some areas of my life that I've kind of been closed in God off from. And let me list a few. You've closed God off of your relationship. You've kind of just dismissed him out of your finances. You've just kind of removed him from your job place. You're just doing this stuff on your own, but your heart has become closed to what God could do in that situation. But you say, today I'm going to make a decision. I'm not calling you forward, but you say, I'll make a decision today. I'm going to start opening areas of my life that I've left closed. I'm going to start opening areas of my life for God to come and get involved and start doing something miraculous. Just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand nice and high. Good. All over the, come on, nice and high. This is between you and God. Yes, beautiful. All over the floor, all over the balcony, people online. Praise God. Can I pray with you right now? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I do. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to help somebody, to shed light on a situation, to know that God, anything we're open to, you're given permission to get involved with. Lord, I pray you'll take away the disappointment. Take away the meditation on the past. Take away the condemnation. Take away the bad religious teaching. And God, begin to afresh and anew show us that if we'll just live open lives, we'll live with open doors. God, you said if we would pray, the doors would be open unto us. I pray for people that have just kind of, not even consciously, but just by habit, by default, have just dismissed you from certain areas of their lives and have stopped praying and have stopped believing and have stopped seeking your word. God, I pray that they'll come back to prayer, fasting, time in the word, seeking your face and saying, Lord, help. Help my neighbor. Help my marriage. Help my children. Help my church. Help my neighborhood. Help my business. Help my mind. Help my life. Lord, we're open for you to do anything you want to do. And in Jesus' name, everyone said amen. I want every person, without anybody going out that door, out of respect for what God's going to do next, every person that says, I want to live a life that's open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, for real, would you please stand with me right now? Every person that says, I want to live. I'm not trying to push into some big emotional realm, because I want something to happen in you so real today that emotions cannot be the foundation of it. Something by faith. Would you now begin to lift up holy hands to God and say, I thank you, Lord, that you said if I would be open, that you would begin to move. Would you please? God, I want to be open. Would you? With extended hands toward heaven, toward God, not toward your neighbor, not towards the preacher, not towards the church, but to God. Lord, I'm open to anything. Come on, that's a dangerous prayer. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's going to do something powerful for some people today. I'm open. Go ahead and talk right out loud. Lord, I'm open. I'm open. My life on my own is limited, is difficult, and is too challenging. Oh, but God, I would rather have your favor. I'll be open today. Come on. Even if this is a brand new day for you, lift up your voice and say, I'm open, Lord, to your blessing. I'm open to what you want to do. Whatever you want to do, I'm open. Come on, there must be 650 adults in here. You'd think you could hear four or five at least praying. Come on, pray right out loud. Lord, I'm open. Come on, come on. I'm helping you how to do this biblically. The Bible never has silent prayer. It's always public. Or it open your mouth. Say, Lord, I'm hungry. Hungry people. You never go to a restaurant where there's people quiet because they're hungry. Hungry churches are not quiet churches. They're vocal. Go ahead. Lord, I'm hungry for you to move in my marriage. I'm hungry for you to move in my body. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Come on. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Hungry people are rarely distracted. Hungry people are going after the thing that they're hungry for. Let God come and satisfy a holy thirst. Let God come satisfy a holy hunger. God, I'm hungry for more of you. I don't want status quo. I don't even want what I've had. I want more than I've ever had before. Fill me to overflowing. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's it. Beautiful, church. Wonderful, wonderful. I see God pouring His Spirit out on the Charleston church today in a mighty way.
You deserve the glory.
Magnify Him. Honor Him.
And the honor. As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory.
Praise the Lord. His presence is where people praise. His glory is where people honor. Come on, honor God. The presence of God is here today. I've sensed Him ever since I came into the parking lot.
You're great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great.
There is
no one like you. There is no one else, for you are great. You do miracles
so great.
There is no one else like you, for you are great.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Praise God. Praise God. How many of you are open for God to do some wonderful things before we leave this building today? How many of you are expecting God to do something great before this service is ended today? God is here. I'll tell you what I know about ministering like this is you can't do this in a minute. We want to just open the door like a car door. Just open the door. But the Holy Spirit, the stronger the Holy Spirit, the quicker He can do it. But there's a strength of the Spirit here that can begin to take people who have closed the door of their heart to God because they've sinned, they've compromised, or they've become disappointed, or they've lacked a discipline, or they've gotten around the wrong people, or they've just, the devil has tormented their mind. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. The heavens are already open. I'm going to get with a bunch of people that say, I want to live with an open heart to a God that's got an open hand. I don't expect the worst, I expect the best. Because my heart is in that condition. Who's here today without anybody else leaving? You say, you know what, I want God to move in my life, but I've never experienced salvation. I've never prayed that prayer that God would come into my life. And I want Him to do for me what He did for those in the Bible. I know I'm disconnected. See, every person is born disconnected from God. But today, the way to get reconnected to God is to pray, admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for you, and publicly say, I'm a part of the family of God. If that's you today, either you've never prayed that prayer, or for real, your heart is closed so much that you've been drifting from God, and you feel convicted. The Holy Spirit is grabbing your heart today, saying it's time to get right. It's time for a brand new beginning. My Lord has come to this service today for you, whether it be one or a dozen, whether it be few or many, God's eye is on every person here today. If you say that's you, when you pray that prayer, I want to commit my life or recommit my life to Christ. Slip your hand up nice and high. Don't be ashamed. Say, I'm confident that I want to make the right decision. I want to start going the right direction. Just slip your hand up. You can even be in church and go in the wrong way. Who is here? Who's here? I want to, when you pray that prayer, is there anybody in this building today? You say, if I died today, I know I wouldn't be right with God. I know I wouldn't be right with God. Today, I want to pray that prayer. All right, I want to pray with those who've raised their hand for a fresh commitment. Lord, I pray for those who've lifted their hand. They said, I feel convicted. I feel the desire, the longing, the draw to get things right. And I pray for those that are drifting, that there'll be a recommitment, a fresh start, that their lives will never be the same, that starting today, they start moving forward and not backward in Jesus' name. Amen. When every person that needs a healing in your body and you say, I'm open for God to heal my body, just come and stand across this altar very quick. Move as quickly as you physically can. You say, I'm ready for God to heal my body. I'm open to that today. Maybe you have not asked for prayer for weeks or for months, but you say, today I'm open to that. I realize that this could be the day that God makes the change. Come, stand right shoulder to shoulder. Don't get behind anybody. I want to believe that in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the openness of our faith, that God is going to start turning the tide, that God is going to start changing the situation. Don't get behind anybody. Just get shoulder to shoulder, if you would please. Praise God. Help me, Joel, if you would. Joel, help me here. Let's get the people in line so that nobody's missed. I don't want anybody to be missed. Quickly, prayer team, board members, Sunday school teachers, workers, choir members, any part of our church, come quickly. Get in behind these precious people. God, do something in these bodies. God, do something great for these lives. That's a beautiful. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Come, would you?